Last week we began a study of 1 John. We read the first few verses to try to see what John was about. It's one of the simplest books in the Bible, and John didn't write it simple because he couldn't write it any other way. Because he wasn't an intelligent disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was very close to the Lord Jesus. And he wrote this book to make sure that anybody who read it could understand it so they could know. And we said he used that little word know, I believe it was 32 or 33 times in the book. It's very important for him that you know. It's very straightforward. And in the first three verses, John gives the testimony of his own experience. And we're going to look at those first three verses again. He said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now that's the testimony of John's experience. What did John experience? Well, he tells us that he experienced God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He writes because he wants to know that he wants you to know that he experienced God, and he also wants you to experience God. And we talked about this last week. He could have said, read the Bible and that will be enough. But that's not what he said. He said, I'm inviting you to experience what I experienced. I'm inviting you to see what I saw. I'm inviting you to touch what I touched and to experience what I touched me. And so on the basis of what John said in those first four verses that we looked at last week, I ask you the first of a series of 12 questions that I'm going to ask about this little book. And I'm asking you personally all these questions because I believe that the Lord Himself is raising these questions to us as a congregation and to us as individuals. And the first one was, have you experienced God? Now, we talked about that last week, but as we talked about it, one of the things I didn't point out a lot is that John never really talks, he never uses the word experience. He uses a much richer word, and that word is fellowship. And so that leads me to the second question that we're going to raise out of this little book, and that is, do you have fellowship with God? You just saying, I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Well, that's one of the things that you need to really examine. And that's what John helps you examine in this little book. That was his intention above all else, so that you could know that you know that you know that everything is right between you and the Lord, that you truly belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we look back at verse 3 just briefly. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. What is fellowship? Is it facts? No, fellowship is an experience. It's an exchange between persons. It's warm, it's intimate, and it's real. And this morning, we're going to consider this question under the following headings. I'm going to give them all to you, and then we're going to look at them one at a time. The first one is the possibility of fellowship with God. Is that a possibility, a genuine possibility? The second one is the conditions of fellowship with God. The third one is the contraindications of fellowship with God. In other words, if you go to the doctor and he says there's some contraindications here, you can't take this medicine, you can't mix the two. There's some things that don't mix with fellowship with God. And finally, the cleansing that accompanies genuine fellowship with God. Now we're going to look at that first one, the possibility of fellowship with God. John said, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. What is fellowship? Well, if you think about it, fellowship demands a relationship, a togetherness, a bond between people. A church-wide fellowship is when we gather together as a group and we just get together to enjoy one another. People sit down and they sit down with people that they know and they talk together. They meet new people and they form relationships with them. So fellowship is the warm, intimate bond of people who walk through life together. Relationships are developed by which we come to know and trust one another. So right here in this verse, John is inviting us to more than a church-wide fellowship. He invites us to have fellowship with God. That's what he says. He said, we want you to have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So imagine what it would be like to be invited to a church where people actually had fellowship with God. What would that be like? Well, it would be good, and at the same time, it would be uncomfortable. Having fellowship with God is a little uncomfortable because Brother Doug told the children this morning that God doesn't see as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. God shines the light of His presence into our lives, and He exposes anything that shouldn't be there. So now we're going to talk about, look at chapter 1, verse 7 there. We're going to look at these verses back and forth, and we're going to look at verses 5 through 7 this morning, looking at them back and forth, but we're going to start at verse 7, where John says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. He didn't say you can walk anywhere you want to and have fellowship with God. You can live any way you want to and have fellowship with God. He said, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And so now we're going to talk about the conditions of fellowship with God. This is number two. The one condition that opens the way for true fellowship with God and true and deep fellowship with my brother is if I am walking in the light. Now, what does that mean? Well, in order to understand what that means, we need to consider what John said in verse 5. In verse 5, he said, this is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. God is light. He is in the light. And if I'm to have fellowship with Him, I need to remember that there is no darkness at all in God. God has no dark side. He is genuine. He is not phony. There's nothing false, nothing evil. God is good. He is holy. But how about you? How about you? Do you have a dark side? Is there a you that I see and that others sees? And then a you that nobody knows about? Are you genuine? In the Bible, darkness is not only a representation of evil, but a place where people go to participate in evil things. People do bad things in the dark. And why they do bad things in the dark is because in the dark, nobody can see them. So if I'm to have fellowship with God, then I need to be walking in the light. I must come out of the darkness. I must be genuine. I must be transparent. I must not hide things from you, and you must not hide things from me, because neither one of us can hide things from God. He knows who we are. Now, I want to tell you a funny story. I want you to relax just a little bit and breathe. This is a funny preacher story. I hope it's funny to you. It's also true. Every word of it is true. My wife can back it up. There was a lady here last Sunday whose mother will never forget me because of this story, because the person I'm about to tell you about, I had her take her out of town. This is you'll put all the pieces together maybe in just a minute. About, 25 years ago, I'm guessing when it was, I was the pastor of Camden Baptist Church. I was called to a convenience store late one night. The caller said that a lady had been left there. She had been abandoned and needed a place to stay. Well, whenever somebody needed help in town, they always called me. One time I got called to go to the local liquor store. They said, somebody's here and needs help. And they were at the liquor store, and I thought, you're the liquor store. What are you doing calling the Baptist church? But they called the Baptist church and called the Baptist preacher. So whenever I was called, I always went. And so I went that night, and when I got there, I found what I found was right out of a horror movie. The lady looked like the wife off the television show The Munsters. She had on a full-length fur coat. It was probably rabbit. It might have been squirrel or worse. I don't know what it was, but she had on a full-length fur coat. She was carrying a large carpet bag, like a suitcase, except it was made out of cloth, and it looked like it might have been made out of an oriental rug. It was really strange, a large carpet bag. So here's a lady in a full-length fur coat. She's carrying a large carpet bag, and her hair is two different colors. Now, that's before two-tone hair was in style. You know, two-tone hair is in style now, and sometimes if my wife doesn't stop me, I always walk up to the person and I say, and some of you have heard me ask the question, is that scratch and sniff? You know, when they had the scratch and sniff stickers. And so this lady, her hair was gray right down the middle, and it was long, and it was black on either side, and she had two teeth, I kid you not, that hung out of her mouth right here. She was the strangest, weirdest-looking lady, scariest lady I have ever seen in all my life. And there she was in the convenience store, and then she told me her story. She said, I was hitchhiking on the road tonight, and this man picked me up. And she said, and then we came to the convenience store, and when we got here to the convenience store, I went to the bathroom, and when I came out, he was gone. Well, I knew exactly what happened, and you know what happened too. When he picked that lady up, it was dark. He saw a lady standing on the side of the road in a fur coat. So he stops and picks her up and gives her a ride. But when he brings her into the light of day and he sees what she looks like, he was just as shocked as I was when he saw her, and he got out of the way. I wanted to get out of the way too, but I couldn't. I was the Baptist preacher. So we had to take care of that lady. And for a while, for too long, and the lady's mother that was here last Sunday, she wound up taking her out of town because the lady overstayed her welcome, and we just couldn't get rid of her. But what I'm trying to say is sometimes the light brings things into view that we otherwise didn't know about. The light reveals. It reveals the truth about who you are. It reveals the truth about who I am. And so the conditions for fellowship with God require that I walk in the light. I allow the light of God's presence to expose the truth about me. If I'm walking in darkness, things are hidden. They're secret sins that I don't want God or anybody else to know. If I walk in darkness, I'm not walking in fellowship with God. I'm not walking in true fellowship with my wife. I'm not walking in fellowship with my children. And I'm not walking in fellowship with my church family. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Do you have fellowship with God? That's the condition, is walking in the light. Now, we're going to talk about, we move to verse 6, and he says here, if we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. I can sing, I'm a child of God, yes I am. But if I'm walking in darkness, there's some questions about that. So now we need to talk about the contraindications of fellowship with God. And a contraindication is a sign that someone shouldn't continue with a particular medicine or treatment because it might be harmful. The two things don't mix together, and there's some things that don't mix with fellowship with God. Have you ever noticed that light and dark don't mix? If you walk into a dark room and you turn on the light, what happens to the darkness? Where does the darkness go? Darkness cannot exist in the presence of light. Light expels darkness. If you say you have fellowship with God, but you're walking in darkness, the darkness of personal sin, secret or not, you can't have fellowship with God. You can claim to. You can testify to fellowship with God. You can come to church like you have fellowship with God. You can go to a church-wide fellowship and pretend you have fellowship with God, but you don't. It's a lie. So what is darkness, and what does the Bible mean when it talks about walking in darkness? Is it talking about walking outside at night where the lights aren't on, or walking into a dark room where the lights aren't on, or in a dark church where the lights aren't on? What does the Bible mean when it talks about darkness? Well, I'm going to read to you some verses from Ephesians, and I want you to listen very carefully to what they say. I think verse 3 is going to be on the screen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse jesting, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, mark it down, write it on your calendar, put it on the mirror in your bathroom. No immoral, impure, or greedy person, such man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. That is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." So how much darkness, you see in that verse, how much darkness can you have in your life and still have fellowship with God? How much darkness did Paul say you ought to have in your life? He said, not even a hint. Not even a hint of sexual immorality. Not a hint of impurity. Not a hint of greed. Not a hint of resentment. Not a hint of obscenity. Because you can't be walking in fellowship with God and walking in the darkness. If you were walking in fellowship with God, in true fellowship with God, the light of God's presence would expose the darkness in your heart, and you would see it for what it is. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, Paul raises this question: what fellowship has light with darkness? And the answer is none at all, neither practically nor spiritually. Practically, darkness and light don't exist in the same room. Darkness flees from the light. If you turn on the light in a room, we know what happens to the darkness. It's gone. But you say, well, it's still dark under the couch. Yes, it's still dark under the couch. But you lift the couch up and the light goes under the couch. And where does the darkness go? It's gone. Spiritually speaking, how does the darkness of sin respond to the light of God's presence? Well, it flees. It has no choice but to flee. For the darkness of sin to remain, it has to hide from the presence of the light, or I have to hide it. And how much hidden darkness does it take to break a person's fellowship with God? Just a hint. If you're cherishing a corner of darkness in your heart or in your life, it's impossible for you to have fellowship with God. If you were truly walking with God, He would expose that for what it is and would expel it from your life. The light of His presence would expel it from your life. So be honest. At least be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. Do you have fellowship with God? Knowing what you do about your own heart? God knowing what He does about your heart? Do you have fellowship with God? Can you have fellowship with God? Chapter 1, verse 7. 1 John 1, 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And now finally, we want to talk about the cleansing that accompanies genuine fellowship with God. Now this verse says what we've been saying all along, but it goes a wonderful step further. It says, there might be times when darkness enters my life. As a matter of fact, there are times when darkness enters every person's life. If we're honest, then all of us are going to say, there's a couch in my heart and there's dark under there, because I haven't lifted it up and let the light of God's presence shine into that spot in my life, into that closet in my heart, into that dark corner of my heart. And so, if there's sin in my life, then temporarily at least, my fellowship with God is broken. The intimacy, the warm and genuine friendship and fellowship I had with the Lord is gone. And instead, into my life comes a coldness and a distance between me and God. And that's not because God wants to be separate from me. It is because my sin has separated me from him and has broken my fellowship with him. But if I will step back into the light of God's presence, if I will walk up to the Word and open the Word and look and read it and say, God, would you show me? Would you shine the light of your presence into my life? Would you show me what my life is like? Then God will expose the darkness in my heart. He will call me to repent of it. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, as he saved me from sin in the beginning, will cleanse me from any and all sin that I have allowed into my life that has hindered my fellowship with God, and my fellowship with God can be restored. One of my favorite stories is a man I knew personally who came to America from South Africa to get rich. He came to my church in Camden, Alabama. He was a reprobate. That's all he was. He was not to be trusted. He came from South Africa. He was a white man. Came from South Africa to America simply to get rich, and that was his passion. And in pursuing that passion, he joined the Amway organization. Nothing wrong with the Amway organization. It was not the Amway organization that was bad. It was his heart that was bad. Well, in the process, the Lord changed his heart and gave him a great passion for spiritual things. He had a deep love for God, a passion for God. God just transformed his life. Wonderful transformation. And he told me that one day he was in his house and he was having some good fellowship with the Lord. He had out his Bible and he was reading the Bible and praying, and he felt the nearness of the Lord's presence. And as can happen with you and me, while he was praying and reading his Bible, his mind began to wander. You know how your mind wanders sometimes? And it wandered back to that leather-bound Amway book. They gave him a leather-bound Amway book with pictures of everything that could be his, all the wealth and all the things of this world that might be his if he followed their program. And so he said, I went and I got that leather-bound Amway book, and I began to flip through it, and I began to think about all that I could have if I pursued that program. And then he said, after I got tired of looking at that book, I went back and I got my Bible and I went back to my spot to have fellowship with God. And he said, as only he could do in his South African accent, he said, the Lord was gone. He was gone. That sweet fellowship he had with the Lord, is just the Lord had left that spot. He wasn't there. And so he told me, he said, I had a fire in the fireplace. And I took that leather-bound Amway book and I threw it into the fire. And I said, Lord, I do not want these things. I want you. I want you more than I want anything else in the world. He wanted fellowship with God. Do you have fellowship with God? Maybe you have wandered into the darkness or willfully walked into the darkness. Why do you think the Lord has brought you here today? He's brought you here to expose that, but also to expel it by the light of His presence. He's reminding you that since the day that you started walking in darkness, your fellowship with Him has been broken, and it can be mended. If you will walk in the light as He is in the light, you'll have fellowship with God again and fellowship with brothers, your brothers and sisters again, and true fellowship, open, honest fellowship with your wife and children again, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, will cleanse you from all sin. Imagine that. Every hint of darkness exposed and expelled, every stain left by the darkness removed. The genuineness and the joy of fellowship with Jesus is restored. But there might be something that you need to throw into the fire so that that can happen. Would you have fellowship with God? God wants to have fellowship with you. Is your fellowship with God broken because of sin? God wants that fellowship restored. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. We usually begin by reading the text. We'll end by reading it this morning. This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Let's pray. Lord, You know our own hearts today. You know the dark places. You know the degree of darkness. You know those who once had fellowship with You, who have fellowship with You no longer, because their hearts beat with a passion for something else other than a relationship with You. Oh God, convict us. Shine the light of Your presence into our lives and expose what needs to be exposed. Help us, God, to return to You as You speak today. In Jesus' name I pray.